It's Friday, July 24th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, today is July 24th, so I must say, happy birthday, Mom. That's right, it's my mom's birthday, and she's out there in Nampa, Idaho, and probably not listening to the Stash, but happy birthday anyway, Mom. Very important announcement here from all of us here at Normal West Coast Media Headquarters, and that is the upcoming Normal Show Live that we're debuting on Saturday, September 5th, Labor Day weekend, the first live two-hour talk radio show to be featured and promoted through the mainstream media. That's through CBS radio stations in New York City, and we need your help to launch it like it should be launched. We're trying to raise funds for advertising to put the word out, to get a buzz built up for this show, but we really need your contributions. If you've been listening to this podcast any time over the last 3 years, you've gotten it absolutely free. We've never charged for this podcast. And at Normal, we've given you so much information on the law and the news and everything that's happening with regard to marijuana law reform. All we're asking for now is please to reach into your pocket and make a donation. $25, $50, $100 would be great. If you can only spare $5 or $1, we'll take it. Every little bit helps. You can be a part of putting together the first mainstream media live talk radio show that supports the responsible adults who use cannabis and portrays us in a positive light. I really want to make this happen. If you can help me, please go to stash.normal.org, click into the tip jar in the top left corner of the website, and in the comments of your donation, please put Normal Show Live so we can earmark that money for our advertising efforts. This is only possible if we all band together. I'm willing to speak up for those of you who can't, but I can't do it without your support. And it's also time for some shout-outs. It's a Normal shout-out. Our shout-outs today go out to the states that start with the letter I. That's right, we're looking at Indiana. I received an email from a student at Indiana State University who's looking to start up a campus chapter. Got an email from Des Moines, Iowa. Now, there's a great Iowa Normal already, but that's a big enough state. We could have another chapter in Des Moines. And my own home state of Idaho, I need to announce that I will not be in Boise, Idaho tomorrow, as I had advertised on Craigslist. We had to delay the trip. I will be in Boise, Idaho Saturday, August 8th at the Fairview Flying Pie from 4 to 6. That's 2 weeks away to try to gather people together to help form a Boise Normal. If you got any questions on any of that, or if you'd like help in starting or joining a Normal chapter in your area, send me an email at stash@normal.org. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines with a look at Fox News questioning the veracity of the California Board of Equalization's estimate of $1.4 billion that could be reaped from marijuana legalization. Gee, it's Fox News. You think there might be something wrong with the analysis? We take a look back to the state of Iowa, where the pharmacy board will start holding hearings to gather people's input on the medicinal nature of marijuana. The Native American church in Hawaii is suing for the religious right to use cannabis. And my commentary on a couple of dispensary owners featured in the front page of the Wall Street Journal opening up a dispensary in California. It's the fourth Friday of the month, so we'll be visiting with Danny Danko, High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, for our Cultivator's Corner. He'll be answering three questions that were sent in by stashers to stash@normal.org. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, today features It's a Rap Friday and music from Tiger Venom. And in our second interview segment, Cannabis Community, we speak with Ford Bannister, the executive director of Jacksonville Normal up there in Jacksonville, Florida, and the incredible response he's gotten to his efforts to decriminalize marijuana in the city of Jacksonville Beach. All that and more coming up today on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Fox News questions California Board of Equalization $1.4 billion estimate on marijuana taxes. I do my level best to keep my personal politics out of this blog. I don't always succeed, but Republicans and Democrats have both been staunch foes of marijuana legalization, and the ideological bases of both the Republican and Democratic parties tend to favor marijuana legalization. Liberals from a social justice angle, libertarians from a personal privacy angle. Democrats have been incrementally better on the issue, though. Much in the same way drowning someone and calling it waterboarding is incrementally more humane than the ancient Greeks burning prisoners alive using the brazen bull. But when it comes to Fox News, their agenda is so transparent and their reporting is so biased that I attack them not from a political perspective, but a journalistic one. This is the network that has repeatedly referred to Republicans as Democrats in their chyrons when the Republicans are caught in a sexual scandal. So when Fox News is questioning the California Board of Equalization's $1.4 billion estimate of tax revenue from Assemblyman Tom Ammiano, Democrat of San Francisco, really a Democrat, it's best that you put your waders on to read through it. Talk about your brazen bull. To reach that amount, the board apparently relied on a source that relied on a source that misquoted a book that misquoted a study, all involving a hazy mix of out-of-date numbers, high margins of error, and complete guesswork that could be a mere $700 million off the mark. The board appears to have based its 16 million ounce use by Californians per year guess on a problematic study conducted by the founder of a pot-growing university in Oakland and by the director of California's branch of Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. But after only a quick look, those numbers went up in smoke. The Normal Report based some of its figures on a book called The Science of Marijuana, which in turn appears to have misquoted an annual study of regular smokers conducted at music festivals and pot rallies in Britain. The book says the study found that daily marijuana users smoke about 2 ounces a month, 56 grams, but the study actually found that they use just over an ounce a month, 34.25 grams. I went straight to the source, California Normal coordinator and study author Dale Gehringer, who notes, "The weights in the British report are referring to resin, that is, hashish, not marijuana." The report goes on to note that in terms of herbal cannabis, consumption is higher, averaging 57 grams or 2 ounces per month. These are the numbers we used in estimating total California consumption at 1 million pounds per year. For the record, this number is actually on the low side compared to other estimates. For example, using a similar methodology as ourselves, the ONDCP estimated total U.S. consumption at 4,270 metric tons in 2000. Apportioning this by California's share of the population, 12%, this works out to 1.13 million pounds per year in the state. Using a different methodology, ONDCP calculated that the total amount of marijuana available in the U.S. at 4,777 to 16,731 metric tons of domestic production, plus 4,581 to 7,135 metric tons of foreign imports, or a total of 9,358 to 23,866 metric tons total per year. That would work out to 2.5 to 6.3 million pounds per year in California, not 1 million. It is clearly difficult to come up with accurate projections of marijuana consumption. Hard data are difficult to come by due to marijuana's current illegal status. Nonetheless, the figures cited by Normal and the State Board of Equalization are, if anything, on the conservative side compared to other government estimates. So remember, when you hear a fact on Fox News, make sure you apply some common sense and a little Googling. This is the same news organization that is trying to convince you that only 1 out of 6 guns used in the Mexican drug war come from America, when it is probably closer to 6 out of 10. Who here really thinks that legalization and taxation of marijuana in California is actually going to cost California money? Now, who here thinks they will be raking in money hand over fist? Fox News's job is to convince you of a lie, and failing that, confuse the truth in matters important to their agenda. Fox News viewers ranked among the least knowledgeable about public affairs in a Pew Center survey, and the Program on International Policy Attitudes found in 2003 that 4 out of 5 Fox News viewers had one or more demonstrable misconceptions about the Iraq War. Iowa Board of Pharmacy to hold medical marijuana classification hearings. Des Moines, Iowa. The Iowa Board of Pharmacy voted unanimously on Tuesday to hold public hearings on the topic of medical marijuana. Last year, a marijuana activist asked the board to reconsider how it classified marijuana, which the board initially denied. But later, a judge ordered the board to justify its decision one way or the other, which the board is now doing. The board will hold public hearings once a month from August through November and then make a recommendation. Some people with chronic diseases said lighting up is their only relief from pain, chemotherapy, or radiation. Opponents said they're educated enough to know marijuana is part of the war on drugs, and other legal drugs are already available to deal with chronic pain. State Rep. Clell Bodler adds legalizing medical marijuana is the first step toward legalizing marijuana altogether. Said Bodler, quote, "I have a tremendous problem with anyone or any group of people that would like to legalize marijuana. It's absolutely ridiculous to think Iowans need something like that," end quote. We have a tremendous problem with state legislators who favor imprisoning sick people seeking relief from a plant. This other legal drugs part always gets me. So what? Let's even cast aside the fact that these other legal drugs are toxic, they can kill you, they have a detrimental effect on your liver and other organs, and they have a list of side effects a mile long that you need other legal drugs to mitigate.
Prescription Cursitol is not for everyone. Side effects include an allergic reaction, hives, night sweats, or trouble urinating. In rare cases, anal leakage, nosebleeds, butterflies in the stomach, purple nurples, and painful rectal itch have been noted. Tell your doctor if you are taking nitrates for chest pain, MAOI inhibitors, Mayori Tribesmen, Flintstones chewable vitamins, or tap water for dry mouth, as cerebral hemorrhage may occur. Do not take Cursitol if you are nursing, pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or would like to get someone pregnant. Do not take Cursitol with alcohol, aspirin, acetaminophen, or any other substance beginning with the letter A. Prescription Cursitol. When you've got cancer, what else are you gonna do?
Let's forget about that for a moment. Let's just imagine there is a prescription drug out there exactly as effective and exactly as safe as cannabis. So what? Who the hell has the authority to tell you,
No, you mustn't grow that plant and treat yourself. You must pay my company for that privilege. If you disobey, we will arrest and cage you.
Medical marijuana is such a threat not because anybody's really afraid of the effect on the children. Their rates of marijuana use have gone down in the medical states. It is the threat to the very structure of healthcare capitalism. If people are growing their own cannabis and dropping demand for NSAIDs, opioids, and benzodiazepines from one-third to one-half, that's not good for shareholders. If people are treating themselves for wellness instead of desperately seeking treatment for sickness, they don't need as many doctors, nurses, Medicare and Medicaid bureaucrats, insurance company bureaucrats, and the food, laundry, janitorial construction services that work for them. Seriously, one of the biggest reasons marijuana is illegal is that it cuts out the middleman. One of the objections I've read repeatedly is,
well, there is no control over the dosage or potency of the medical marijuana. You're relying on the patient to dose himself whenever and however he wants. What other prescription would we treat that way?
Well, none, because they can kill you. Heaven forbid we allow a free man or woman in the United States of America to use a non-toxic plant anytime, any way they wish, in their own home. Native American Church sues DEA over right to religious use of marijuana. Honolulu, Hawaii. The Oklavoiha Native American Church of Hawaii filed for an injunction in federal court that would allow its members to continue to use cannabis as a ceremonial sacrament. The plaintiffs are seeking an order declaring their consumption, cultivation, possession, and distribution of cannabis to be free from federal penalty. Currently, the federal government is prohibited from preventing members of the Oklavoiha Native American Church from using the entheogenic cactus peyote, and the church is now seeking the same religious freedom for its members' religious use of cannabis. Church president and named plaintiff Michael Rex Raging Bear Mooney is a Native American spiritual leader. commonly known as a medicine man. Mr. Mooney and the church are suing Eric H. Holder Jr., Attorney General for the United States of America, Michelle Leonhardt, Acting Administrator of the United States Drug Enforcement Administration, and Edward H. Kubo Jr., United States Attorney for the District of Hawaii. According to the plaintiff's attorney, Michael A. Glenn, quote, the federal government is required by the American Indian Religious Freedom Act to protect and preserve for American Indians their inherent right of freedom to believe, express, and exercise their religion, including the use and possession of sacred substances, and the freedom to worship through ceremonies and rites. End quote. Good luck with that. I support the religious use of cannabis. However, I support everyone's use of cannabis. And I don't think you need to find it holy to have a right to use it. In previous attempts to sue for this right, the courts have ruled that letting some Indians use obscure drugs like peyote or ayahuasca is okay, because allowing that exception does not substantially burden the government from enforcement of laws that prohibit peyote and ayahuasca for others, because so few people outside the religious users use those drugs. But they've also ruled that letting some Indians use the most popular drug, cannabis, is not okay, because allowing that exception would substantially burden the government from enforcement of laws that prohibit cannabis for others, because so many people outside the religious users use that drug. Basically, that means if your holy sacrament is really popular for non-holy uses, you don't get your First Amendment religious rights. It's the government's way of telling you that your God was wrong about that plant. Pick a less popular, much more psychotropic, hallucinogenic one. Wall Street Journal front page on marijuana business. Still, at a time of deep recession, the med pot business is attracting career switchers. Mr. Werner was the sales manager of a Chrysler dealership and dismayed with the collapse of car sales. He had a doctor's recommendation to smoke pot for pain from a spinal condition. One day, a car dealer friend, Mr. Schaffner, who also had a pot recommendation for migraines, suggested, why not become pot vendors? Each invested $40,000. Following state guidelines, they set up as a nonprofit called Lake Forest Community Collective, from which they would draw salaries. It is on the second floor of a strip mall in the Los Angeles suburb of Lake Forest that also houses Mexican restaurants and a Pete's coffee shop. A customer first encounters a brightly lit front room with a security window and an Obama poster, then is buzzed into the vestibule with an ATM. Beyond that is a spotless room with glass cases displaying pot in pill bottles. Scribbled on a board are prices from $10 to $25 a gram for different strains: Sour Diesel, Purple Urkel, Bubba Hash. Sour Diesel is popular, says a volunteer, and, quote, really potent. This still is a far cry from, say, Amsterdam, where pot remains illegal, but authorities are so tolerant that pot is available in coffeehouses. In California, pot sales, legal and illegal, are estimated to total $14 billion a year. Medical marijuana makes up maybe an eighth of that, says Dale Gieringer, director of the state's chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He estimates the state has 3 million pot smokers, including 350,000 with doctor's recommendations. Drawing salaries, selling marijuana at, let's see, $283.50 an ounce to $708.74 per ounce. Now, my old weed dealer used to tell me that the reason an ounce costs the same as gold, at the time, is because the guy growing it and selling it is risking his freedom. But these weed dealers aren't facing that risk from state or local authorities, and apparently now not from federal authorities. So now is the justification for ridiculously expensive plant material the overhead of the storefront and employees' salaries and benefits? We must legalize marijuana for everyone, even those of us deemed too healthy to smoke weed. Marijuana is becoming institutionalized in California as something you must pay a doctor to get a permission slip to overpay a dispensary to get. If you don't play that game and grow your own or buy street weed, you might get to pay an attorney and a drug court. Oakland has now set a precedent for 1.8% taxation on marijuana. Will these entrepreneurs and governments make more money on 1/8 of the consumers buying overpriced weed, or more on all of the consumers buying farmers market priced weed?
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service announcement.
A thousand million years ago, nature said, let it grow.
There's nothing quite like growing your own marijuana plants. From the little seedling to the vegging stage to the harvest of big sticky buds, cannabis cultivation is the most rewarding hobby a marijuana connoisseur can enjoy. So to help our listeners with their gardens, every fourth Friday of the month, we welcome High Times Magazine's senior cultivation editor, Danny Danko, to answer your questions in our normal daily audio stash, Cultivator's Corner. Well, it's the end of the month, and that means it's time to check in our Cultivator's Corner with High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko. And Danny, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Seth. How you doing?
Good. We finally get to speak on the same time zone. You're in San Francisco right now. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm here for the hydroponics trade show that's going on here. Pretty interesting. And there's also the Blaze and Confuse concert tonight at Shoreline this evening and afternoon. And that's Snoop Dogg and Slightly Stupid and Stephen Marley. It's definitely a very very pot-friendly lineup. Mickey Avalon, Beardo.
Yeah, it's a great show. They were just up here in Portland, and I helped Oregon Normal table at the show and got backstage and got to interview Miles, too. So it was a really good show, and you're going
to
love it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's a little bit later on. And then tomorrow and Sunday is the hydroponics trade show, the maximum yield show here in San Francisco.
Well, it's funny you'd mention that hydroponics show, because our first question from one of our listeners here, this comes from Alex. And his question is that he was wondering if you think it is worth switching to an indoor hydro setup. He's been growing organically for 2 years and hasn't had the best yields or quality. So was just wondering your opinion on switching to hydro from growing in soil.
You know, honestly, my personal opinion is to stick with the soil, just because it's more forgiving, and hydro comes with its own set of problems as far as the temperature of the water and a lot of different things that you have to factor into account with hydroponics that you don't necessarily have to with soil. And I think honestly, like, ultimately the flavor and the quality of the pot, quality over being more important than quantity. I would always go with the organic soil mix.
Okay. If he's thinking of switching from soil to hydro, he's saying that he's not getting the best yields or quality out of his soil grow. What do you think might be the issue? I know he didn't give us a lot of details, but what do you think could be the problem?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the idea is you really want to just feed the roots of your plants. So yeah, whether they're suspended in the hydroponic system or in a soil mix or a soilless mix, the real key is just to provide them with the oxygen and the nutrients that they need, as well as just not overdoing it. You know, that's really one of the biggest problems that people encounter is overwatering or over fertilizing. It's always better to err on the side of caution and do a little bit less.
Okay. And I'm sure a lot of this information will be available in the fine cultivation books that you guys have up on hightimes.com.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jorge Cervantes Indoor Marijuana Horticulture book and his newest book, Growing Medical Marijuana. The best resource is always a quality book or a DVD or an article in High Times. And, you know, there's information online. There's vast resources out there for people. But, you know, my point would be to say keep it simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Stick with
the soil.
Yeah, or soilless mix. You know, the bigger the container, really. I mean, that's the important thing too. I mean, if you're going to go hydro, you're going to want, you know, a deep water culture kind of system. Like, you really want to be growing more roots. So it's kind of like the same idea with a fish tank. A fish will only grow as big as the container that it's in. So if you have more room for the roots, you'll get a larger plant. And here in California where I am, it's important because the medical areas, you have the plant limits, and you really want to get the most out of every plant that you're allowed to grow medicinally.
Right. Now, we get another question here. This one comes from Rebecca, and she wanted to know, how long do seeds keep, and what is the best way to store them?
Well, the important thing with seeds, if you're storing them, is just to not keep them anyplace damp or too warm. So I would say a dry container in the refrigerator will allow your seeds for several years. And I mean, I've heard of people popping seeds, you know, that they've found in a canister from, you know, 10 or 20, even 20 years old and getting viable plants out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's always a seed always wants to pop, but any kind of moist or warm situation is going to make it deteriorate much quicker.
Nice, dark, cool, dry storage place then, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. And of course, you know, when they pop in those seeds from 20 years ago, they only grow up to be that weak, ineffective pot, not the super pot we have these days, right?
Well, you know, anyone who's ever spoken to, the veterans of the Vietnam War, and know about the incredible potency of the marijuana in the 60s and 70s that was, the Colombian and the Vietnamese and the, even Mexican, special strains that were there, the equatorial sativas. None of those people are buying this, pot potency argument at all. The other thing I would say is if there was, some kind of a researcher who created penicillin that was stronger, he'd win the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
You know, so actually, I don't really buy the argument from either angle. I don't think that the pot is necessarily more potent now, and I think if it were more potent, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's something we should always note is in the Netherlands, their medical marijuana, their requirement is like 18% THC. They won't even consider it medical until it's there. So our final question here, this one comes from Will C. And kind of a political statement here or a bit of a civil disobedience. But he asks, when trying to overgrow Big Bro, I would like to know where to plant the seeds randomly all over the place. And so is there a set of things to look for when throwing out the seeds for their best chance to grow?
Well, this is always an interesting thing that people talk about is the whole idea of spreading the seeds. And, really, it depends on if you're trying to make a political statement, you want people to see it. And you're going to look for planters and, you know, places where your city or township has already sort of developed, the proper conditions for growing flowers and varietals and stuff that are, to show off the city. But, if you really want to harvest it and then end up with some pot, then you're going to have to find more low key places. So politically, I would say, every planter in your city is a potential point of protest. And, I guess if you're trying to harvest something, then that's probably the last place you'd want to put it. But that really depends on your motive.
Yeah, I guess so. And I would always think, in front of the state capitol, at the sheriff's office, look for those planters around
exactly.
There.
Those types of places. Those are always interesting. But, more important than that, I would say, is to become a member of Normal, to get politically active, to write letters, because planting the seed is great. And I think it's an interesting and wonderful kind of a protest, statement, but I don't think it's going to win over any converts to our, way of thinking. And I think the more important thing is to just show people that, productive marijuana users exist and we're out there and we're vocal and we're political and we're voting and things are changing and we're very excited about it.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it too. So, Danny, before we let you go again, you're there at the Hydroponics Expo, in San Francisco. What's coming up next for you in the next month or so?
Well, I'm really excited about the Boston Freedom Rally that's coming up. I'm going to be at Seattle, Hempfest as well. This is going to be my first trip to basically what I consider the world's biggest, pot rally. And that's the Seattle Hempfest in August. So I'm really excited about that. And, it's our 35th year anniversary. So, High Times Magazine November issue is, basically celebrating our 35 years of, counterculture journalism and encouraging people to be open-minded and, possibly even grow their own pot. And, after that, there's the Normal Conference in the end of September. There's the Boston Freedom Rally in mid-September. It's a really exciting summer right now. That's the 20th annual Boston Freedom Rally, and they have that new, $100 fine for anything under an ounce. So, and that's my hometown. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the prospects for marijuana law reform like never before right now.
Oh, absolutely.
The summer of 09 will go down in history, as far as I'm concerned, in turning a page in marijuana law reform.
Yeah, we're calling it the summer of bud.
Yeah, I like that. The summer of bud.
Yeah, and so
2009, I want to encourage people not to miss these rallies. Seattle, Boston, the Normal Conference back here in San Francisco in September, the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. There's so much going on. Just become a part of it.
Right. Yeah, become a part of it. And I'll be at all those events you just named. So I'll see you at those, Danny. And thanks again for joining us here on the fourth Fridays of the month for Cultivator's Corner.
Thanks, Russ.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's a wrap on Friday, and we hear Mary and I from Tiger Venom from Amsterdam. Mary and I won 2007's Global Marijuana Music Awards Best Music Video. More recently, Tiger Venom won 2008-2009's ASCAP Music Awards in Jazz and Pop. Currently, Tiger is working on his new CD, Grindin' Music, which features many great artists, including NLZ from the Wu-Tang Clan. Hailed as one of the best lyricists in the music business, Tiger Venom mixes melodic beats with lyrically driven music, holding listeners to the last note. Tiger has performed across Europe, the U.S., Russia, and many other countries. To catch the latest on Tiger Venom, check out myspace.com/TigerVenom. That's TygerVinum. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Mary and I by Tiger Venom.
I know the nights could be crazy. We meet at a coffee shop, sometime at a friend's. It all depends on my pocket when I count the ends. Spin on my mistress of exotic blends, anticipating a blunt that I'm ready to spin. Like a spider, pass me the Philly and the lighter. Toss Mary in a slow roaster with the fire. Take two puffs, hold it in and get high. My eyelids droop as my brain cells fry.
touching every muscle and nerve like a doctor. My eyeballs turn more red than a lobster. Take two more puffs, then I'm ready to go. Holding hands with Mary all the way to the show. I jump on stage and wild out like an animal. Leave the audience wanting my flesh like cannibal. Then we go somewhere quiet to be alone. I'm not a selfish nigga, but you gotta buy your own. Mary and I are just too tight. Sharing her with other people just wouldn't be right. The bond that we have is intimate and personal. She gives me energy like fruits and vegetables. I love Mary Jane and I tell you no lie. She'll probably be with me on the day that I die. I love my Mary Jane.
St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normalnorml.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Cannabis Conversations.
Once again, we go across the country to speak to Normal chapter leaders from around this great United States of America, and we stop now on the northeast side of Florida in the Jacksonville area. We're speaking to Ford Bannister from Jack's Normal. Ford, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Before we get too far into the conversation, let's make sure people know how to get a hold of Jack's Normal or Jacksonville Normal. What's your website and any other contact info?
Actually, our website we're working on right now, but it should be back up in a few days. We're doing some maintenance on it. It's www.jax-norml.org. And our email is jaxjax.normal@yahoo.com.
All right, great. Get a hold of them because there's some big stuff going on in the Jacksonville area. This is a media story that came across my wires and now apparently has gone viral about a decriminalization ordinance in Jacksonville Beach. Ford, tell folks about what the ordinance is and then tell us about the media reaction.
Okay, well, the ordinance is just a municipal charter amendment in the little town of Jacksonville Beach. The city of Jacksonville is actually the largest geographic city in the United States. It's really huge, about 1 million people. The city of Jacksonville Beach has about 20,000 people, kind of a little bohemian village out on the outskirts, the type that I think is probably, in the vicinity of every major city in the United States. What we're doing is this is a decriminalization ballot initiative that's going to provide for a civil fine of $100 for possession of less than 20 grams of marijuana. 20 grams is actually, over 20 grams is a felony in the state of Florida. That's the toughest law, the lowest amount to qualify for a felony in the state. So, it's misdemeanor possession. The enlightened state attorney will have the option of just, charging a civil infraction and not forcing someone to, carry a crippling criminal record with them for the rest of their life.
Mm. And the media reaction to this has been quite substantial, I understand.
I've been taken aback, and I'm almost ready to fall down right now, to be perfectly candid with you. I started getting calls this morning. I did an interview a few days ago with the Florida Times Union. That's Jacksonville's primary paper, the equivalent of, say, the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. It came out this morning, and of course, it's on their website at jacksonville.com, but this was the primary headline, right up at the top and bold. The city of Jacksonville Beach considers, revising its marijuana policy, and there's like an 8x8 picture of me on page A10. I've interviewed today with every television outlet in the city of Jacksonville, 3 television interviews, a radio interview this morning, and a separate interview also with the Florida Times Union once again.
Mm. Yeah,
now I'm talking to you.
And now you're talking to me, and I also understand this is going to go beyond Florida as far as media coverage goes.
Yeah, it's my understanding. Some people have called me. This has been in the newspaper in Pensacola. It's been reported in the Miami Times Herald. It's definitely gone out on the wire. And my understanding is I'm going to be receiving some calls from Chicago and possibly from Time Magazine sometime later today or in the next few days.
See, this is the amazing kind of work that's being done by Normal chapters all over the country. And it's a great way to get started because, like you're doing there, this municipal initiative, far fewer signatures that you have to gather to get this on the ballot. How many do you need down there?
We need, for the city of Jacksonville Beach, we need 988 is what I got from our supervisor of elections this morning. For the city of Jacksonville, we would need around 30,000 to guarantee validation. But, this is something that, if you live in a spot and laws vary from state to state, we have home rule in Florida. So we can basically, the city government can legislate in any area the state can as long as there's not a conflict. And it's pretty well established that just having a lesser penalty for something is not a conflict. But, this is a way to get a conversation started. When we of course have limited resources, but this is a way to do it in some places where we can make a difference and get a conversation started that's going to spread to different places. Within 30 to 60 days, I think we should be going down in Key West, certainly a place that is culturally favorable for our cause.
Sure.
And there may be a secret list of some other places in Florida that I'm just sure someone would love to get their hands on.
Well, yeah, this is the way we start it, and people got to realize that the statewide decriminalization that happened in Massachusetts only happened after folks from MassCan Normal and other groups were pushing, 30 or so different of these measures that either decriminalized or recognized medical marijuana or had some favorable look toward reforming marijuana laws. It really does make a difference, and we can do this city by city, and then that goes county by county, state by state, and before you know it, It's legal across the whole United States. This has been quite an undertaking for you, Ford. Have you ever been involved in putting together initiative petitions or ballots before?
I have not. You know, somebody, we came up with this last year. Somebody came to one of our meetings and they asked us in a very challenging way, what is it that you intend to do about this, about marijuana prohibition? And we kind of had to say, well, you know, we encourage everybody to write your legislator, and we're going to scratch our heads and commiserate. A group of law students and practicing attorneys, people with legal training got together. We did some research. We found out that this was a way that we could proceed. And we just kind of put the pieces together and, you know, here we go in this little town.
And that's part of it too. You brought this up as well, as people asking, you know, what are we going to do about it? People want to do something about this. People want to get involved, but before they're going to join a normal chapter, they got to know, well, what's the point? What are we doing? What are we going to get involved with? And this is definitely a very concrete way of showing people where their membership fees go and what they're funding. And people are more than willing to join. Have you seen an increase in membership since you've started this?
Yeah, I mean, we started out with just a few of us. We're up to about 100 members now. I mean, the feedback I've been getting, my phone's been ringing off the hook all day from people in Jacksonville Beach that are, you know, overwhelmingly supportive, and people from around the city of Jacksonville and, you know, different areas that are asking, you know, when we can get something like this started in the city proper. So, yeah, I think the support's definitely out there. We just have to go up. We have to stand up, be proud, and we have to end this taboo, if you will. I mean, you know, the marketplace of ideas really can't function properly if anything is considered taboo, especially something that's important enough to put 900,000 people every year in jail for. I think that's something we probably need to be talking about. And up until just very recently, it's just not been part of the national conversation. I'm very pleased that it is now. I think it's important for people to realize that even if the federal government steps out of this in the next few years and just leaves this to the state, when alcohol prohibition ended, there was still alcohol prohibition in Mississippi in the 1960s. So these battles are going to be fought at the local level. They're going to be fought there in the beginning, and they're going to be fought there in the end. So this is the time to start right now.
Mm-hmm. And we want to get you as much help as we can. So people can go email you at that jax.normal@yahoo address to help out with this petitioning campaign.
Sure, absolutely. And we'll have another website up in a few days, and I will also be set up to accept donations. If anybody wants to, you know, support us financially, it's greatly appreciated. I'm sure that, you know, the people, they're well-funded, trade groups, if you will, that are going to be opposing us. But, you know, we're confident we're going to win in Jacks Beach, we're going to win in Key West, and we're ultimately going to end this silly backwards practice once and for all.
Yeah. Folks, get out there and donate your time and your money to the folks there at Jacks Normal that are trying to make a stand and end adult marijuana prohibition. And remember, it's not always your money necessarily that can be helpful. If you've got web design skills or time to be on a phone bank or the ability to walk around and collect signatures, your labor can mean as much to these groups as it does as the money or your signature on a petition. So get involved any way you can. Before I let you go, Ford, is there anything else you'd like to let our listeners know here on the Stash?
No, I think that, the model we have, it's a model that's been used in other places. It's not really a new invention, but I urge everyone to follow it and replicate it throughout the United States. And, you know, like I said, be not afraid. And also, I think another really cool thing that we can do that we're planning to do here in Florida is, we don't necessarily have a lot of resources. We don't have a ton of money generally. We're grassroots organizations, but what we do have are a lot of dedicated activists, and a lot of them are in college. Here in Florida, we're going to be running campaign invasions, which is something that different political parties have done for a while. Everybody's going to get together, go up to a city where we're running a petition drive, go out, wave signs, gather petitions, phone bank. We're going to kind of develop an esprit de corps, let our leaders meet together to plan, get everybody together. We can do it in a few places and accomplish a great deal. And this is, of course, I mean, what more fun activism are you going to be involved in than trying to free the weed?
Like I often say, working for Normal doesn't pay very well, but the fringe benefits are pretty awesome.
Yeah, man, keep on smiling, by all means.
All right, Ford Bannister from Jacks Normal. Check them out at jax-norml.org once their site's up in a few days. And good luck on that initiative, and we'll be following it here at the Stash.
All right, take care and stay in touch, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our audio stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder to check out Cannabis Common Sense, the live cable access show that you can call into every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. It's available through Ustream.tv, that's the letter U, Ustream.tv. And I'll be on the show tonight playing a little bass and giving some national commentary on the show that is hosted by the Campaign for the Regulation and Restoration of Hemp's Paul Stanford, also the CEO of the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, major sponsors of this podcast, and Normal Board of Directors and Oregon Normal Executive Director Madeline Martinez. Also, Tim Pate will be on the show. We'll be talking about opening up Hemp Fest in Seattle on August 15th and 16th. And many more pieces of information for the cannabis community. So tune in tonight at 8 on Ustream.tv. Our call-in number is 503-288-4448. We love hearing from people from all over the country. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.